To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and praise now and forever. Amen. God's word before us this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, Pew Bible, page 968. Since it is our custom to stand for the gospel, I ask you to do that now. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he said. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is God's word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, be present now, our hearts in true devotion bow. Your Spirit send with grace divine, and let your truth within us shine. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to start this morning with what should be a simple, but can become a very complicated, with what should be a short, but could very easily become very time-consuming question. What is it in life that makes you most happy? In one of our psalm refrains, we sing, "Happy the people the Lord has chosen to be his own." Of all the things in life that give us happiness, that satisfy us, it is my prayer that what makes us most happy, that gives us the most happiness, is to know that in Christ, God has chosen us to be his own. The Holy Spirit has moved us to know and believe in Jesus Christ as our only Savior from sin, death, and hell. What this means is that no matter what, we can be happy. Or as Jesus says in our text this morning, know that we are blessed. Because we know Jesus is always at our side. He's always guarding and protecting us, and he's working everything in our lives for our spiritual and eternal good. Writing to Christians who were being severely persecuted for their faith, even running for their lives, the Apostle Peter offered these words of encouragement. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. As you already know, this Epiphany season, we've been worshiping under the general theme, Aha. Looking at those times in life when we've learned something that just makes us sit up and take notice. The Aha moment that we celebrate today is that we can rejoice even in our suffering. We have a joy that nothing can destroy. We know our salvation in Jesus. We want to imitate Jesus' life, and we're willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. Matthew 5 through 7 records Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is really at a high point in his ministry. Crowds are flocking to hear him preach and teach. His disciples are present because they want to learn and to grow. Matthew writes, "Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." And did you note the first thing Jesus says? "Blessed are they." Some translations say, "Happy are they." Is there really a difference? When we know that we have been blessed by God, when we know that we possess God's blessings in Christ, don't we have every reason to be happy? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I open this morning by asking you to answer the question, what is it in life that makes you happy? Isn't it true that there are many things in life that deep down we're convinced give us satisfaction and make us happy, and yet as things play out, they really don't? They wear out, they fall apart, they break down. Isn't that why Jesus, with the greatest urgency, says to us in the next chapter of Matthew, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." You and I live in a world that is not friendly to Jesus, nor is it friendly to you and me who go by his name, Christian. The philosophy of our society is that we can really be satisfied only if we have the same stuff as everybody else. The same expensive toys, the same expensive cars, the same expensive vacation spots. The world in which we live wants us to believe that we can really be happy only if we have the biggest and the best of everything, the finest of foods, the costliest of clothes, the most extravagant of houses. But that's not God's philosophy. That's not God's teaching. That's not God's truth. God says our greatest happiness will come when we have found our salvation in Jesus. God speaks to us through the prophet Isaiah and says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." What a vivid reminder from God himself that there's more to life than all of this world's scintillating stuff. And that more is the gospel. It's the good news of our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the richest of fare. It's only in the gospel that we're assured that all of our sins have been forgiven. It's only in the gospel that we find peace, perfect peace, with God. It's only in the gospel that the shame and guilt of our sin is removed from us. And wonder of wonders, all of this doesn't cost a thing. It cost God everything, to be sure. It cost him the life of his most prized and precious possession, his one and only Son. But it costs us nothing. It's absolutely free. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," Paul says, "that though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Ah, we have a joy that nothing can destroy because we found our salvation in Jesus Christ. When we know Jesus, we are most richly blessed. Now, in the midst of all of these blessings that we tend to call the Beatitudes, Jesus doesn't pause and say something like, "Now, be sure you follow my example," or "Be sure you do what I say." No. It's almost as if Jesus takes a step back, points to himself, and says, "All of these things you see in me. All of these things you see in my life." Listen again. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." What better way is there for you and me to learn what mercy is all about than by listening to Jesus pray from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Blessed are you, Jesus, for you are most merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The people of Jesus' day saw firsthand someone who was pure in heart. While Jesus was accused of many things, while he was maligned and ridiculed, while he was ultimately put to death on a cross, he could still claim, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" And in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is described this way: "We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Blessed are you, Jesus, for you are profoundly pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. At Jesus' birth, the Christmas angel announced that peace had come to the earth. Some 700 years before he came, the prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would be called Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring that peace which our world completely misses and that, sad to say, you and I sometimes forget. In one of our hymnal prayers, we pray, "Lord God, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give." This is the peace of God that transcends all understanding, not just human, but even angelic, and that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This is the peace of knowing that we are one with God, and are free from all the guilt and shame of our sin. This is the peace of rejoicing that we are children of God, his own sons and daughters, claimed by him to be his own forever. Blessed are you, Jesus, for you are the perfect peacemaker. Merciful, pure in heart, loving peace. These are the trademarks of Jesus' life. Jesus sets a very high standard for us, doesn't he? Jesus never sinned. Never in his thoughts, never in his words, never in his actions. How can we ever hope to measure up to his standard of perfection? We don't have to. Confident of our forgiveness, knowing that we are at peace with God, assured that eternal life is ours, all in Christ Jesus, we make it our goal in life to imitate Jesus, not to get something from him. We've already got it. But to thank him for giving it to us. That's why the Apostle Paul, addressing New Testament Christians like us, can say, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And how did the Lord forgive us? completely and unconditionally. I read nowhere in the scriptures that God came to us and asked us if we wanted to be forgiven. There's nowhere in the Bible where God approaches humanity and asks for some contribution to the payment that needs to be made for sin to go away. I know of nowhere where God comes and says, people, if you come halfway to me, I'll come the other half to you. No, God came the whole way, all the way to us, in the name, in the person, and in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And because God came all the way to us, requiring nothing of us for our salvation, we now want to go all the way in being merciful and pure in heart and loving peace in our relationships with others. We want to imitate Jesus' life in our lives. As God inspired Paul to write, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Aha! We have a joy that nothing can destroy because we want to imitate Jesus' life. Being like Jesus in our lives, we are most truly blessed. Remember that Jesus is on the mountainside and is preaching a sermon that in the Gospel of Matthew runs 3 chapters long. People have rushed out to hear him preach and teach. His disciples are there to hear and to heed. Jesus is getting them ready for what he knows they will face in being his witnesses to the world and in taking a stand for the gospel. This is what he says. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then comes the kicker. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. Not just grit our teeth and bear it. How in all the world can Jesus say, rejoice and be glad? Did you catch the reasons why? Not because we've amassed all kinds of things in this life. Not because we can compare ourselves with our neighbors and our friends in what we have gathered for ourselves. We can rejoice and be glad because of what God has promised is our reward in heaven. Even if we are falsely accused, even if we are maligned and ridiculed for lining up with Jesus, even if we have to suffer pain and sickness and persecution for the sake of Christ, we know that we have a reward of God's grace in heaven. And how do we know that? Because God, who is faithful, who cannot lie, says to us, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. My friends, we are a people who have been graciously chosen and richly blessed by God. As such, the more we rejoice in our salvation in Christ, the more we strive to make imitating Jesus' life the goal of our lives, the more we're going to face pain and persecution. What Jesus once said to his disciples hasn't changed for us today. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. It's a fact of the scriptures that the closer we get to Jesus and the farther we get from the false philosophies of this sinful world, the more we're going to experience trial and tribulation. That's just the way of the Christian life. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But he's so quick to add, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Aha. We have a joy that nothing can destroy, for we're willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. When we remember that we have a reward of God's grace awaiting us in heaven, then we are most richly blessed. Fellow redeemed, whether you realize it or not, the world around us considers us to be complete idiots. After all, we put our faith, our hope for eternal salvation in an antiquated Jesus. We live our lives giving up things in life for him. We're willing to take on suffering and persecution for his sake. Why is that? It's because we take to heart what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, it's because we belong to Jesus. It's because we know we're going to heaven. We are blessed. We are happy. Never forget that. In Christ, you and I have a joy that nothing can destroy. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which does transcend all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.